of you. But Abram and Canaan looked around and said, I don't know, it's looking kind of severe around here. God can't take care of me. I might starve. So he goes to Egypt out of what God had said. Then as he's on his way there, he realizes, hey, they're going to grab my wife because she's available and all my stuff, and they're going to kill me. And he thinks, I might die. God can't protect me. And third, he says, if I die, I'll never have children. So what good are children? So here's my wife. And he gives away his wife, literally saying, God cannot make me fruitful. Now, that is just scary. Think about that. God cannot provide for me. God cannot protect me. God cannot make me fruitful. Their story continues in verse 14 of chapter 12. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male servants and female servants, female donkeys and camels. Now, I just want you to notice one thing in that list. Female servants. These are all the things that a Pharaoh was giving to Abram as his dowry, as the gift for what he thought was the sister. I do want to take a moment, and I want to put out a caution for us. You and I need to learn to obey God and what God has said rather than what's convenient for the moment. Look at this. God had said to Abram, just go to Canaan and I will take care of you and I will protect you and you will have children. You'll be fruitful. But instead, Abram panicked. He said, God can't do those things. And he went to Egypt. And the end result is he's in Egypt and he's lost his wife. He's lost his future. He's walked away from his promises. And since she's going to be married to Pharaoh, she forever will be in Egypt. He will forever be there watching his own wife not being his own. And everything God's promises has promised is lost. And there's nothing Abram can do about it. A couple things for us to know. Every time you and I compromise God's word, every time we compromise God's call, we'll find ourselves in trouble. I mean, I would be rich if I had a dollar every time someone said to me, I know what God's word says, but, and after the but comes an excuse of why somehow or another God's word applies to the whole world, but not to them. Why they have to do this or that or whatever it is. And they know it's a compromise, but they understand it's kind of like Abraham. I know what God said, but there's water in Egypt. And the minute you have to add a but to God's word, I know what God's word has said. I know what God wants, but every time you do that, there's compromise lurking in your life. And you're going to find yourself in trouble, losing some of the very things that God promised you. Another thing is every little compromise leads to larger compromises. Notice how he just started by saying, well, there's water in Egypt. Let's just go to Egypt and we can take care of ourselves and our animals there. But on the way, that compromise led to, tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. And then that led to the, oh, Pharaoh wants my wife. Okay, he can have her. You see, every little compromise, you think, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little thing. That little thing is going to continue to build in your life until you're suddenly with insurmountable compromise that's destroying God's grace in your life. Another point I want to really highlight here is the enemy seizes upon our every failure, working to destroy our faith and fruitfulness. The enemy's working. He's scheming. He's bringing famines of this life into you, against you, to try to trip you up, to mess you up. And you've just got to stand your ground. You've got to say, I know I can't see it. I know I don't understand it, but I know what God has said. And when you walk boldly by faith with what God has said, that's where the blessings and the breakthroughs come. Now, let's get back to Abram, starting with verse 17. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She's my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, this is where God's greatness, we've talked about how great is your God. God's greatness is greater than our failures. You can look back over your life, and the Bible says that no one's righteous, no, not one. Even those of us who are believers, even those of us who are striving after God with all of our abilities, are still going to find points of compromise and failure enter into our lives. It's just going to happen. And we could get cocky about it and kind of say, "Well, since it's going to be anyway, God will forgive me later." And that's just foolishness. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in this case, Abraham found himself in a place of his own making. He'd failed God. He'd walked out of his promise. He gave away his wife. There was nothing he could do for it. And the enemy, being in Pharaoh, was way too strong. Abraham had lost everything, and it was unrecoverable. It was impossible. Of course, then again, you and I serve a God of the possible. God loves the impossible. He finds a way. And so he intervened, and when it was said and done, Abram received his wife. And not only that, he was banished from Egypt. Go back to Canaan. It's as if God knew him. By the way, the scripture does not say the famine was over. It simply says he was sent on his way back to his promise. Same way in your life. You know, when compromise is in your life and you're struggling, you just look up to God. And you know what? The scripture doesn't fill in all the details, but I bet you Abraham was praying up a storm. And you know, when you turn to God and say, "God, I made a mess of my life, Lord, but do something. Lord, help me out." God will intervene, and God finds a way to restore the very things that we think have been lost forever. Two key principles. God is faithful despite our failures. And the seeds of our future problems reside in our present failures. Let me explain that, because I'm not going to go further out. But while in Egypt, Pharaoh gave a great dowry to Abraham, including all these different things. And on the list, it specifically mentions female slaves. Well, some years later, Abraham again compromises. And again, he says, God's not giving Sarah a child, and so we can work this out for ourselves. And so Sarah said, here is Hagar, my Egyptian servant. Where do you think they got an Egyptian servant? As the dowry present in Egypt. Now get this. I can't even imagine this. I mean, my wife would kill me if I gave her away and then I was given an Egyptian servant. And then when she came back, I said, "Here, you can have the Egyptian servant. She can be your servant and I'll keep the rest of the dowry." I mean, I can't even imagine all of this, but it's what happened. And then she gave this girl to Abraham and said, "Marry her and have a child by her." Or in other words, the seeds of his current compromise going to Egypt came back to haunt him with the compromise, a future compromise of Hagar. You know, for those of you who think I can compromise now and God will restore my life, he will restore your life. But there will be seeds of that compromise that will follow you even after God blesses you, that will trip you up in the future. It's better to walk straight to the best of your ability now and make no excuses. Well, in Genesis chapter 13, starting with verse 1, "So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the very beginning. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Now, it's interesting. When Abram came back from Egypt, can you imagine? God said, "Come to this land," and you go to Egypt. All this happens. God restores you, and you come back. And what are you doing? You're kind of ducking your head out, right? You don't want God to see you. And since God's everywhere, it's like, how do you duck out from God? And you feel ashamed. I'm sure that there was some interesting discussions between Abram and his wife. I don't know about you, but I can imagine what my wife would be telling me at this point. And they're walking through the land, and Abram just shamed. He feels far from God. He knows he betrayed God. He knows he betrayed his family. He knows he betrayed the promises and the commands. He's just like, what do you do? And he's restlessly wandering everywhere, and he can't find peace. And finally, he goes back to Bethel, which actually means house of God. And that's where, when he first arrived in the land, when he first came, he came to Bethel. He named it House of God, and he built an altar there and said, God, I will serve you here in this place. And Abraham went back to that place, and he became really for us a type. When you have failed God, when you've walked away from God, maybe you're watching right now online and you're kind of wrestling and you've been away from God, and all of a sudden you're feeling pricked in, but you're so ashamed of all these things. Do what Abraham did. Go back in your heart to that place where you first found God, because it's God that's got you here watching. It's God who wants to restore your life. It's God who makes things right when we mess things up. God isn't standing up there trying to condemn you. God is reaching out to you, trying to restore you. Go back and call upon him again as you did the very first time. And it says, God answered Abram, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look to the place where you are, north and south and east and west. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, and I will give it to you. I want you to notice what God says to him first. He's there leaning against the altar, pouring out his heart, crying out to God, ashamed. And God looks down because he sees his heart, and his heart is pure. He might have failed, but his heart is still pure. He's come back to the Lord. And he says to him, it's almost like he lifts under his chin, and he says, look up. And he lifts him up, stand up. And then he says, walk through the land. It's as if God says, when you come back to him, look up. You're not ashamed anymore. I've forgiven you. Look up, stand up, and walk through the land of the promises that I promised you, because I am restoring to you the very things that you thought you'd lost and given away. We're told to walk through the land, to walk in our promises and our dreams, to claim God's promises even now for his life. The theme here for this year is you've already won it in 2021. To claim it, to walk in it. That's what Abram did. And that's what God said. Not out of a sense of arrogance. Look what I have. Out of a sense of humility that God said, you can claim it. You can walk in it because I am giving it to you. Stand with confidence, not because of who you are, or what you've done, or even what you believe, but because of who God is and how great he is and what he has done in your life. Moving to Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, your very own son shall be your heir. And then God brought Abram outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you're able, if you could number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Notice here that God restates his three principles. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I will protect you. I am your very great reward. I'll provide for you. And you will have a son. I'll make you fruitful. God brings back to Abram all the promises without any lacking. And Abraham believed God. And yet he still struggled. Oh Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? You know, it's okay if you're like, half of you is saying, I believe, I know what God's saying. I accept, I believe. And then the other half of you is going, but how do I know? And that's exactly what Abram said. And God just laughed. And he says, if you want to know whether or not it's true, just look to my greatness. Look to the heavens. I have a few slides that just kind of show the greatness of heaven that even Abram couldn't see. You see, our future does not depend on what you and I can see, but on the vast resources of God. Look to the heavens and see what God sees, rather than solely looking in the natural with your own human eyes. As Scripture says, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, that what God has prepared for those who love him. You and I need to see from God's perspective and walk boldly by faith. Well, there's more to the story of Abraham. Today, I want to just kind of leave it there and tell another story to challenge you, a real story that's very integrated in my life and in my congregation where I have served. Kim and I have actually planted 3 churches, and the most recent one was about a little over 10 years ago that Hope Chapel helped sponsor. They were our sending church for that even. And about 3 years ago, my daughter, who's now pastoring the church there, was pregnant. And when she was pregnant, they did an ultrasound and said, it doesn't look right. So they sent her to a specialist and they did a high-resolution ultrasound where they could look at all the different things. And they came into her and they said, the baby is not right. The baby's not healthy. The baby is not going to survive. The different portions of the body, the arms, the legs, the internal organs, they're all growing at different paces. And they're out of proportion, or they're not connected right. This baby cannot survive. You're going to have a spontaneous abortion. So before things get complicated, we just need to do an abortion. Her and her husband, Michael, prayed about it, and they said, no, we believe in God. He's the one who said he could save our children. He's our future. We will not have an abortion. So they refused. The doctors continued, and finally, in August, just 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the doctors did an ultrasound, and they said, the baby's under stress. The baby's dying. The proportions are all out. The arms are not connected correctly to the spine and the lungs, and therefore the lungs are not developing correctly. And it's beyond me to understand all of this, but they basically said, the baby, if we don't take the baby today, the baby will die in your womb. But if we take the baby today, the baby won't survive more than a few hours or at most a few days because the baby is not normal. They have the pictures. My daughter said, you can induce labor, but you are not to do anything to this child. I trust God. When they delivered the baby came out perfectly normal, except small little arms, small limbs. In other words, all of the disconnection and disproportions somehow or another between the ultrasound and the baby being born 6 hours later had righted themselves. The body had changed perspectives and everything had connected and the baby came out alive and healthy. And the doctors are like, this is impossible. We don't know how it is. But the problem is that she had almost no forearm. Her forearm was just very short, so her elbow was really right, almost just under her shoulder blade. And she had something called dysplasia and a dwarfism syndrome. And so she had stubby little arms, and they said, this is the way she's going to be, but let's wait and see. So they continued with this until August 21st at 8 months old. The baby was so stressed. Oh, excuse me, let me back up. As she continued on, now that she was at 7 months old, I gave the wrong figure here. As Brielle grew and now was at 7 months, at 7 months old, she was so small. In fact, when she was born, she was at 0.0001 percentile. You know how when your baby's born, you're always like, she's at 70 percentile. She's a nice, healthy baby. Imagine saying she's at 0.00001 percentile. By the time she was 7 months old, she was wearing newborns, and you know how small those are, and her poor little arms would not come out of the sleeves because they were so short that even out of her newborn clothing, they were too short. The doctor finally called her, the specialist, and said, the body still is not connected right, the scapula is not connected to the arms aren't growing, and we need to have surgical intervention to heal this child. Otherwise, she will lose the usage of her arms, and she'll never be able to use them at all. In fact, she said, this is so serious, I want to have an appointment next week. You know how long it takes to get to the specialist. She said, no, I've cleared my calendar. She's to have an appointment next week. We're going to talk about surgical intervention within the next several weeks. This is serious. It needs to be done now. So she had an appointment, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. And so on Sunday morning, she's holding her baby, 7 months old. And Michael, her husband's the worship pastor, and Kathleen's holding her baby. And she's crying, just sobbing during worship, saying, my baby, God, you can heal my baby. We don't need the doctors. You already healed her. She was born alive when they said that was impossible. She was born normal except for these short arms when they said it was impossible. You can heal her, Lord. And as she's praying, and she's all of a sudden she felt faith welling up in her, and she looked at these stubby little arms, and she said, in the name of Jesus, arms grow out. And her little arms grew out about a full inch. And she looked and she says, wow, God, this is amazing. God, you can do it again. Do it again. Arms in the name of Jesus Christ. Grow again. And they grew out another inch. And she looked and she said, they're still a little bit short. God, you can do it again. God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. And her arms grew out a third time to be perfectly normal. And whereas she had her shirt on and her little hands barely stuck out, her little fingers barely stuck out, and she had this jacket on, and all of a sudden her arms grew out so long that they came way up to her elbows, and she looked gangly. They had to take the jacket off because her arms were suddenly so long. She went to her doctor's appointment 2 days later, and the pediatrician proclaimed Brielle's arms were perfectly normal. No further follow-up was necessary. It to me is just amazing because Brielle, I mean, whereas before we tried sitting her up, she's 7 months old and she couldn't sit up. We'd sit her up and she'd fall over. We'd put a pillow behind her so she didn't hit her head. We'd sit her up, she'd fall over. We didn't know why she couldn't sit up. The day after she was healed, we guess we'd never noticed this with children before. She put those big old beautiful arms out in front of her and counterbalanced her body. The day after healing, she was sitting up. She suddenly discovered she'd had toes. Whereas before, her little hands wouldn't even reach to her belly button. Now she could reach all the way down and play with her toes. And she realized she had toes. We suddenly had a perfectly normal child, proportioned in every way, small all over, but perfectly proportioned. Brielle now is 2.5. She turns 3 in August, and she's perfectly normal and growing like crazy, catching up day by day by day to a normal child. What amazes me the most is that there wasn't a special healing guest or service. We didn't have some great famous person or take him to some great famous person. We didn't have a long and mighty prayer by the entire congregation. In fact, all there was is a determined mother who refused to take what she could see at face value. And she looked to the promises of God. She refused to accept what was obvious to the natural eye and to everyone else. The doctor said she was living in denial. Instead, she simply declared, arms grow out in the name of Jesus. I was prompted to share the story and this message because of your theme that it's already done in 2021, that you can stand in your promises, that you can claim it. I'm here to tell you that this is true. This isn't a story from 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 20 years ago. This is a story from just 2019. This is a story of your generation here in Orange County. Oh, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Say with me, Lord, do it again. If God can do it with Brielle, and God can do it with Abram, God can do it with you. You just have to believe. You have to stand. You have to contend. You have to claim. For all you skeptics, here's a before and after picture of Brielle. Side by side, take a look. Look at those hopelessly small little arms. And look at these big, plump arms. But the eye of faith doesn't need a picture to boldly proclaim, Lord, do it again. In Genesis 18:14, it says, Sarah laughed at the idea that she could have a child at 90. But God responded to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? You have your reasons why that would be good for someone else, but it's impossible for you. But just think for a moment. A child that's disformed and the doctors say cannot survive. But she did. A child who they said the child could not live more than a couple days. But she did. A child who they said that without surgical intervention, not to lengthen the arms, just to connect the back so that she wouldn't eventually die from lung problems and to try to make the arms more usable. And they said without that, the child could not live. But she lives. You see, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that you have that's too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord because God is the God of the impossible. What is looming too large in your world? What do you need to take a hold of by faith? What provision do you need from the Lord? Look past your doubts and your fears and claim your promises. Look to the stars. That's what God told Abram. He says, if you're struggling with this, look at my greatness. Look to the stars and see what God sees. Psalms 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are engaging us online right now. Lord, you know their circumstances. You know their hearts. You know their compromises. You know their failures. You know their victories. You know their faith. You know their hope. You know everything about them before and now and after. And Lord, I pray that you would intervene like you did with Abram, and you would restore them in the fullness of your promises. Is anyone hopelessly sick? Be healed in the name of Jesus. Does anyone have family that have walked away from God? We claim them in the name of Jesus, that whatever it takes, you would restore them and bring them to faith. Is there a financial situation or impossibility facing you? We pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord would restore to you the fullness of his promises and provide for you everything that you need. Father, we turn our hearts to you. We believe in you. We stand in you. And we exercise our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. God bless. And may you feel the fullness of God's grace in your life this week.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.